Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to She Podcast, episode 276. I am your she was over here grooving, and I said, I am, and she startled. I'm sorry. I am your co-host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, the lovely and very Hispanic Elsie Escobar, and our producer, John Domingo. Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Although I still like trying to understand the difference between, I'm just going to lay it out here because I've been studying it for a while, but we do not have to go down this rabbit hole. We can continue with the show. But I don't really like the term Hispanic myself. I just don't
Latina.
Like it.
I'm sorry.
I like Latina better.
You actually look more Native American today than you do Hispanic, but it's probably the longer hair. You're wearing a rather earthy type top that makes me think of Native Americans. Also, the glitter in your hair does not help you look more Latina. It makes you look more Native American to me. Maybe it's a feather in my feather reference. I don't know. But I just wanted to say it because, you know, sometimes when I'm introducing you, I have to think on the fly of an adjective that I haven't used before. And there are a few.
Well, that's right. There you go.
Maybe I should just have like a list of adjectives next to me when I start the show so I can just pick one for each of you.
That would be great.
I guess Patrick didn't like that. I'm sorry. Was that offensive? She does look more Native American than Hispanic today to me. I probably look more like someone's grandmother than a 45-year-old woman to you. And I'm cool with it. We look like what we look like. Que sera, sera. And I hope that was in both male and female gender.
Oh,
language.
My God.
Boom. Okay.
All right. So,
I kind of want
to, well, I, before we continue with the what's ups and all that stuff, I really do want to really quickly have you all go, if you haven't already, because it's happening, I think, when we release this episode, the day after, Podthon is happening.
It's this weekend. Guys,
well, that's what I'm saying. When we release the show, it's the day after.
It's like the day after. Right.
Yes. So Podthon 2020 is starting. Our friends have put it together. They have worked very, very hard. It is a virtual summit for podcasters that is July 18th and 19th. The schedule includes over 30 speakers, and they have two keynote panels, including podcast event organizers like Podfest and Afros and Audio and podcast news publications. So you guys, if you listen. I'm asking all of you people who are listening right now, if you don't buy a ticket, I'm going to be very angry with you. So everybody needs to go buy a ticket. I don't care if you go. I don't care if you attend. I don't care. Buy a ticket.
She don't care, y'all.
No,
she
just buy a ticket.
Don't care.
That is it. Link in the show notes.
She don't care. Link in the show notes, but it does not actually link to... I'll fix the link because you linked it to the article.
It's just
and
an article,
you can buy
dude,
tickets.
You will fix the link? No. Yeah. But buy tickets. Ticketspodthon.com, I think it is.
Yes.
Anyway.
Podthon.com.
All right, y'all.
It's hosted by the Asian American Podcasters Association and Women of Color Podcasters. So it's really important that we support them. And also, you know, there's so much we can learn from the speakers that they have. They have amazing speakers. And it's going to be really cool. So please sign up or Elsie will find you and she will rip your eyes out.
I will, y'all. I'm going to be, yeah, I'll be sneaking into your ears and I'll go like this. When you're listening to other people's podcasts.
Did you already buy Podthon tickets? Podthon tickets.
She acts so nice, but it's all a ruse, I tell you.
Yeah, all the kinds of stuff. Anyway, other than that, though, moving on to catching up on things, we are going to be doing some special stuff that's happening with the She Podcast Super Squad. What I feel is happening with our She Podcast Super Squad, it's that it's becoming extra. So it's
so
She
awesome.
Podcast extra. Like, seriously, if you guys go look up why people use the term extra, right now, as of, you know, what, in the past, what, decade, 5 years? I don't know. Extra has become a thing. Look it up. And that's what's going to describe our Sheep Super Squad.
That's actually pretty accurate.
We will be extra. We'll be extra. Yes. So do you want to say a little something about what's happening with our Sheep Podcast Super Squad, y'all?
Yeah, I can tell you that. Okay, so what I'm trying to build in our membership currently is very similar to if any of you attended the live event, or even if you didn't, but you had a virtual ticket, the mobile app had a lot of fun things that normal conference apps don't have. You could, You could upload photos like as you were doing things. You could poke and message other people. I don't remember if you can use GIFs, but I'm trying to create a membership where you could create your own like meetups. This is going to be very similar, where you can have the Asian Association of Podcasters, you can have the Women of Color Podcasters, and you can have newbies, and you can have people who podcast about health and wellness, and you can make them yourself. You don't need an administrator to group you. You can group yourselves, and then you can have your own little convos within the groups. You don't need to always participate in the larger forums, but the larger forums are there as well. You can use GIFs, emojis, and images when messaging other people. You can upload documents. It has other functionality that I've been thinking about whether or not I should allow. For example, uploading documents. You can upload documents to any forum and to any conversation you're having, but should you be able to like blog on your profile? I'm not sure about, I mean, I guess what would it hurt? It also could be sort of promotion-y. I don't know. I guess we'd have to discuss whether or not it's a cool thing. Like, it doesn't hurt anyone. It does not like it. All it would show up in is like, it also is kind of like Facebook, and then it has like an activity feed where you can see like this person posted this, this person's friends with this person uploaded a photo or a document or whatever. So it's very, very, very interactive. And I think that's what will keep people interested in using it over and over, is that it's going to be a little bit of a social hub in addition to learning stuff. Also, we're going to have all the things that we currently teach, our QA, et cetera, will be within the membership. And then also, we are very lucky in that we've joined forces with PodHive, and she offers a lot of one-on-one consulting and weekly coaching and webinars and stuff that she'll be doing for She Podcasts as well. So really, really excited. I'm also excited that we have a sliding scale. I feel so good about that. I would not have been something that I was thinking we would just have three levels, but also have three levels of access. But I love that we have three levels of pricing, but all the same access. I kind of love that. I would have never thought of it because my brain is so linear sometimes that
that's
I just don't think about.
That's what I'm here for.
I know. Your brain is the opposite of that. you're like always on the sidelines going, how can I fuck this up a little bit?
Oh my gosh. You want to see how crazy? You want to see something complete? How I've been like this since I was in high school?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to have to show you. No, this is totally not related to what we were just talking about, of course, at all. But it has to do with innovation, because when I was growing up, we didn't have very much money. Like, so we couldn't really buy the things that most people buy, like the normal everyday stuff that most people in the United States used to have access to. When I was in school, I generally did not get. We were the people who got the free lunch when we went to school. Okay. That's who we were. So when I got to high school, we moved to a different place than where we were in before. We lived in this other house. But what are the things that you get when you're in high school is you have to, I was a varsity person. I was an athlete. I was in varsity starting when I was a sophomore. And so I needed a Letterman jacket, and Letterman jackets are very expensive. I mean, I don't know if you ever tried to buy one, but they're very expensive. Even back then, they were very expensive jackets. And so my parents were like, nope, you can't get one because no. So I was like the only person on the team that did not have a Letterman jacket.
That's so sad, Elsie.
Hold on. I created one. You want to see my Letterman jacket
Please,
that Elsie
yes.
made? I made this.
I'm frightened, but yes, I would like to see
it. And my mom just sent it to me.
It is a spray denim jacket, acid wash spray bomber jacket with, hold on, did you make the whole jacket or did you just take
a
jacket?
I embroidered it. Look.
She embroidered her name Escobar on the back, but cockeyed, not across the shoulders, but like slanted a little bit. So the B is slanted for what? What's the name of your high
for
school?
For drama. And then I have all of my pins and stuff of all of the things that I lettered in.
Wow.
All in here. I added all of this stuff and I embroidered my number and all of the things and the stuff that I, when I won the things. Yeah, so it's still here, y'all. So I would show up every time we would go and play basketball or all my sports. I would put my, I was the only one wearing a jean jacket that was Acid Watch.
Of course, because everyone else had a green jacket.
Yes, everybody else polyester had a green and felt watch. And then I would walk around and of course I felt so famous. And I, when I saw this, my mom sent it to me. She kept it. And I was like, oh, I was such a quirky person ever since.
Yes.
I've always been like, I'll do quirky. It my way.
Quirky is accurate. So I also lettered in choir and I got pins for, I mean, I lettered early, I think, in it because I was in all-state choir in all county and I got pins for that and stuff. But the difference between you and me is I refused to wear that letter. I was too embarrassed to have lettered in choir to ever tell anyone that I had done so because it wasn't athletic and I didn't have any kind of athletic ability to letter in anything. So I just hid it. I like pinned it up on my wall next to my bed and...
See, I had two. I have one on my back and one on my front. My sports.
So you lettered in drama.
My drama. And
what was the sport?
Basketball.
Sorry, I can't even imagine you playing basketball.
Dude, I was like point guard.
You're kidding. I mean, you do have the longest arms of anyone I've ever met. So I guess that makes sense. You'd probably be great.
And the longest legs, too.
Yeah, very long legs. I guess basketball is your, yeah, I guess I could see that as your sport.
It was basketball, but I had to quit when I was going to play in college. And then I decided myself to quit because it brought out the worst in me. The absolute worst. I would foul out every game because wow. I would get into physical fights with the other girls.
What?
I know.
What? How? What?
I am insanely competitive. That's why I'm such a proponent of like everybody collaborate with each other because I stop that thing that happens in me really quickly because if I don't, it escalates very quickly to aggressiveness. And so when I was playing basketball, I would, oh my God, I would come home and I had scratches all over my arms because girls are mean and we pinch and scratch each other. And I remember like being underneath the basket and having the girls just go like beam and like just like elbow me in the stomach. And then I would like sticking our butts out on each other. And like we had like ball, like we would hold on to the ball and we would not stop. In fact, I cracked my tailbone because it was a jump ball and I refused to let go of the ball. And she took me off my feet and I landed on my butt and I didn't put my hands down because I didn't want to let go of the ball.
Wow.
It was not a good look, dude. Not a good look.
Wow, that's so
aggressive. Hockey would have been better for me.
I played field hockey. Can you believe that?
But I played field hockey
at a time in my life where I was not the least bit competitive and I was very good friends with a girl who was and I would just pass her the damn puck. Like I had no interest in competing with her. I was just like, she was in every extracurricular thing I was in. She was in drama. She was in hockey. She was in debate. She was in French club. And in each thing, I would just be like, this is your girl. She's going to lead the way. She wants to be the star. And I just allowed it because I didn't feel like competing with her. Some of it because I didn't think I could win and why bother?
Right.
And some of it was because it meant so much to her and it didn't really mean that much to me. So I was just like, I'll just be helping her win everything, I guess. And then when I got older, like now I'm the first time I became very competitive was when I was planning on going back to college and my ex-husband's dad kept telling me I could never do it. Because I already had Emily and he was like, you could never do that. It's too much work. I think he was psyching me out, but I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, that's so much work and you already have a baby. You'll never get that done. And I was like, what? And I was like, I was furious. Furious. So I went and did it because I was so angry that someone told me I could not. And I kind of have been that way ever since.
Yeah.
Sort of.
That's where it all starts. Stephanie said that she loved field hockey as well because those sticks made the best sound when hitting calves.
Calves, yeah.
What?
Your calf. Your legs.
Well, I know, but why would they hit the calves?
Because if you miss the ball, you're hitting someone in the shin usually, depending on which way you're going. My team used to, so we could intimidate the other teams, we would not shave our legs for a week. because we thought if we looked more burly, then they would be intimidated. There's really nothing else we had. We were all like short and like kind of dainty. And like I grew up in a place where there's lots of big farm bred women in the outskirts of who we were playing. Like we were playing like Linganore High School and Catoctin High School. Like these women, they like milked goats on their way to school. So like we were just like, they're going to kill us. How do we look more dangerous?
Having hairy legs and armpits would
We had
somehow...
nothing much else. We wouldn't wash our socks either. That's it. Dirty socks, shave legs. That's all you get. I'm still the same height, so you can imagine how not scary I was. It was terrible.
That's just awful, dude. That's awful because it's like people would show up. What did you want them to go? Like they, you can't even see their armpits.
If you brush up against them. No, not armpits, just our calves, right? Because if you brush
your
up, if we brushed up against them, if we brushed up against someone by accident, or if they happened to look, we wanted them to know that we were beastly, and therefore, and therefore not to be trifled with. It's so stupid, but it's just like you said, like you girls are mean and intimidating, and we were by far the shortest team ever. We were so tiny compared.
Girls,
we were like in the city, which by the way is not near any city. It was still. Right. Suburbia, and not like the closest city is like Washington DC. I was at least 40 minutes from there, but we were city girls. That's right. What they counted as city girls, because we didn't have our own farm or a 4-H club within a 20.
I think it's hilarious that you're like, I'm just gonna let our hair grow on our legs. Do you think they would let their hair grow? Like you had to do something different, because you were saying they have farms. I'm sure they have burliness going on.
They were
on.
So much bigger than us. They probably never got low enough to see our legs. They were so much bigger than us. It was futile. I assure you it was futile. It was futile. It's like, it was like playing hockey against Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. Like every time. She's like 6 feet tall.
Right.
Built like a man.
Right.
Trains every day like Drago and Rocky. Like that's who we were playing. It was terrible. It was frightening as hell.
Yeah,
whatever.
It is scary.
But anything to avoid being a cheerleader, you know, because that was definitely uncool in my school.
Yeah,
you couldn't do that. Yeah,
I never wanted that either.
Cheerleaders were persona non grata in my school.
Well, no, ours were, you know, good. The same, same old, same old. Except if I were to audition for anything like that, it would have been the mascot. That mascot.
Of course, it would be the mascot.
Of course, it would be the mascot because they had these like we were Bearcats. Which I still don't know exactly what those are. And so it was green. It was a green.
A Bearcat? That is a stupid. What is that?
I don't know. It was a green something like scary, but not really because our mascots were two goofy, goofy girls. And I thought I could be a mascot. So like big, giant, fuzzy green outfits and then like makeup with ears.
So again, like, nothing that my linear brain would ever go to is to try out for the mascot. But also, we were the Patriots, and there was no fuzzy head for that. You had to wear a colonial army outfit.
What? That's they were, dumb.
It was a three-cornered hat like George Washington and a rifle. Like, you know, fake.
Yeah.
You know, and then like a blue coat. Like you had to dress up like a colonial fighter.
That's not a fun mascot. That's very. Were they goofy? Were they just
we
like
the
super
Patriots.
Like, I will be very serious about this.
The mascot? No, but it had to be. It clearly couldn't be a woman. That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Like, I couldn't have tried out. It was a Patriot.
Oh, look.
What's this?
That's
bearcat?
A bearcat, I guess.
Yeah, it's a
very
bearcat.
Very ferocious.
Is that a bearcat?
That's what it says.
Oh, scary. But it's not green. We had a green one. Thanks, John. Now I know that that's a thing. Look at that. Who knew?
All right, I'll show you mine. Hold on. So these have been the, this is the, like, basically when I was a kid, it kind of looked like that. But, like, yeah, TJ, Thomas Jefferson, Patriots. And look, he's angry and clearly fierce. He's kind of a tool, really. But you don't see any, you don't see any chicks wanting to be this mascot.
No.
Right?
No.
No, it's impossible. Anyway.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Although it would be nice to be a Bearcat. I think a Bearcat would be a good mascot.
A Bearcat. I mean, now that I look back at it, I'm like, oh, that was a nice mascot. It's just that our mascots at, you know, in the football games and stuff, they were, you know, they dressed with the fuzzy. They were like giant green plushies.
Yeah.
And they were goofy. There were two goofy girls who made funny things. And Anyway, yeah, I liked them.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Before we get into it, I just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Memberful. Shepodcast.com/Memberful is where you can find them. They are a platform that allows you to send memberships, sell memberships to your audience, and they're used by some of the biggest creators on the web. You can build sustainable, recurring revenue by selling access to a members-only podcast. It works with your existing hosting. You don't need to change your workflow. It's really easy for people to subscribe. And it also has, like, you can do custom branding, Apple Pay, free trials, and has everything you need to run a great membership program. So please check it out, shepodcast.com/memberful, M-E-M-B-E-R-F-U-L.
So now we're moving to some news.
Yes, we've got some really cool news. Let's do it.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
We got some more money being spent in podcasting.
We look sure at this.
$325 million. With $265 million of cash up front.
Can you believe that?
Stitcher.
That is a deal.
Has been bought. It's crazy.
Yep.
By Stitcher. SiriusXM. And this is the largest deal in podcasting up to this.
Ever?
To date. Ever. Yeah. To date, this is the largest. Yes, this is the largest.
Do you think that Stitcher had a gun and wore a mask for this deal? Because to me, it seems like it's highway robbery.
Think they got robbed?
Oh my God, that much money?
That's
yes.
A lot, right?
Well, try and remember Serious? That Stitcher is not just Stitcher. It's mid-roll Stitcher.
Yeah, they have all the things.
Earwolf.
Yes, they have. Yes.
They
yes.
have a fully viable network. They have a fully viable advertising agency. And they have their wildly popular app. So I'm pretty sure they got a good deal. You know?
I think they way overpaid for that.
Well, you know, I mean, I do believe that. But I mean, Stitcher scored. So SiriusXM now has Pandora, AdsWiz. So they have Pandora, AdsWiz, and Simplecast. Now they've just added Stitcher, Midroll, Earwolf, and Omni, possibly. But not Triton Digital. So I guess Triton Digital did not go into that mix. But even if I'm mentioning all these names, how many times, mind you, how many times has there been a back and forth with all of these companies? I honestly can't keep them straight because it's just constant acquisition. It just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And it, all of a sudden, it feels like...
This says Scripps acquired Midroll in 2015 for $55 million and then bought the Stitcher app for $4.5 million. Stitcher's 2019 revenue was $72.5 million. So then they were bought for $325 million, $265 million up front, and then an additional $30 million will be paid at the end of this financial year and then and paid in 2021, and then another $30 million paid out based on 21's financial results and paid in 22. I know, but I think it's interesting just because.
I think the most interesting thing now with Sirius is they're realizing that they don't need a satellite anymore.
Is that
podcasting
true?
Is basically taken over. Well, I guess they're in the cars now, but when they first started out, you had to have your own radio. You had to have one in your house. You had one in your car. You had to have the antenna to be able to stick up wherever it was.
Yeah.
And I just think that now they're realizing that they can do podcasting and not have that whole thing of the satellite and how much it costs to take care of the satellite and everything. And then people can just download from the app and go anywhere with it. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a way to use their back catalog or...
That's true.
Let's say I couldn't listen to Howard in the morning. Well, he was running it on the other channel for the rest of the day. It would just rerun and rerun. Well, now, if I miss it, I can just download it and listen to it whenever, shut it off when I want to, not miss anything.
Yep.
That's what got me into podcasting.
Yeah.
Was the fact that I could shut it off and come back and not miss anything.
Yeah.
It's... I think it's an aggregate, you know, in the same way that Spotify has purchased all of these little bits that somehow can possibly at some point feed each other, because Spotify also has the ads component. They have Anchor, which is the hosting component, and they have like the app. There's another one, I think Audio something or other, that also edits content. I forgot what it's called. That's under their umbrella as well. And they have they have like now the talent, of course, right? They have the content stuff too. So they're building like a little bit of an ecosystem that everything kind of feeds off of each other, and they control those platforms. It seems like SiriusXM is building that out as well. So they have all the little verticals that affect podcasting are just getting in there and trying to add and aggregate and whatnot. One thing that I'm not clear about, because I don't know enough about Sirius. It's a United States company, right? SiriusXM is it U.S. only?
It is. Well, when they first started out, and again, I haven't had Sirius in a long, long time. But when they first started out, it only they only had satellites over the U.S. So it was Canada, U.S., and in the parts of Mexico, only where the satellite could beam down to. So I don't now I don't know if they put a satellite over Europe or anything like that. I don't know that. But once the technology came out where you could take an RSS feed and put it behind a paywall, and only those behind the paywall could get it, now all of a sudden, now you're into the SiriusXM model where you have to pay for your content.
Right, right. Yeah. But I think the difference between, like, let's say a Spotify and a SiriusXM is that Spotify has primarily been a music platform, and they've just started to offer content, podcasting content in general, as well as their independent content creators. Whereas SiriusXM was essentially founded on the content, right? So you wanted to get those extra shows. You wanted to get those extra voices. People there are more used to, I mean, yes, there's music involved, of course, but they're more used to also going to those talk channels that are primarily conversations.
The packages are split out. You can get everything, or you can just have music, I think.
Right. And so, I mean, in that respect, you have people who have use that, because SiriusXM, I did listen to it when it first came out, like way first came out. And then I remember that there were all these options, particularly for talk radio, which was very interesting to me. But I think that's what they have going on for them. But that said, though, in terms of Stitcher, it remains to be seen what they're going to do with that. That's the number four app in consumption.
We have some live audience members asking whether or not this is good or bad for podcasting, because it's hard to know.
Yeah, it is hard to know. Yes,
Spotify right now is being used more than Apple Music. That's very new news as well. But yes. Do we think it's good for podcasting? Yes or no?
Well, I think that we don't know really yet until they use the assets. I think that they're acquiring all the things. It's kind of like the way people are hoarding because of the coronavirus and the pandemic. People are like, look, like me, I want to go get a generator. And then I have a generator. And
then
I don't
need
know.
More toilet paper.
And I haven't used it yet. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I think that they're purchasing they're just trying to purchase stuff to make sure that they're covered. But they don't quite know how everything works. And unfortunately, I think that that's the biggest problem that I see, that people think like, if I just buy this or buy this, I'm going to have a solution to a problem. But they don't really understand how the system or the industry actually works and why certain things work the way they work. And why, let's say, Stitcher is a number four consumption platform out there, because they've built that. And I was telling Rob in on the feed that Stitcher is part of podcasting. I mean, they were one of the very, 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 very first podcast apps out there. They've built a name for themselves from the beginning. That was like one of the first calls to action that we had was listen on Stitcher. That was like way beyond before, I think, some of the more common ones. Like, I think way before, like Overcast. Please correct me if I'm wrong about that. I don't really actually know
Definitely
that.
Definitely before Overcast, I'm pretty sure.
But it was like way back in the day. So they have historical standing, even though they've been acquired, I think, now like two times, I think. And they've changed their branding a couple times too. I remember, for sure. Like, we can look at their branding from like the when they started to now and all of that stuff. But
so now I'm wondering, like last year when we had Midroll as a sponsor for our event, we used the Stitcher logo. They wanted us to use the Stitcher logo, and they all had Stitcher emails.
That's right.
Now I bet next time they'll all be SiriusXM and have us
use
SiriusXM. I don't know.
Know how Spotify is different? Like, Anchor is still Anchor. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like that. And also, what's going to happen with Simplecast? I mean,
but Anchor's a different product.
Why is Anchor? Well, Anchor is also
you create
a listening
podcasts,
app.
But what they bought is not, they're not creation tools. They're sales and marketing tools. They acquired shows that are already created and an ad agency to sell it all. So now I wonder also, is Midroll going to be eaten up by their sales team? Or are they going to continue to sell just the podcast? Like, how's that going to work? There's two sales teams now selling two different things. Like, do these guys get to sell the radio shows and do these guys get to sell the podcasts? Or are they all going to mesh together? Are they going to keep it separate? I mean, probably obviously today they're keeping it all separate, but I'm just saying, like, that's going to be an ugly meshing project. Will podcasters have a chance to be a serious show and be syndicated? Or, like, I'm very curious as to how it's going to work. I've worked in companies where they've done this before, and it can be very hairy. It's interesting, but it's very hairy sometimes.
But that's what I was just thinking about. I mean, I know, like, think about who, like, the leadership, whoever the VPs are and all of the executive people, they're all going to have to get into a room and figure out how they're going to have meetings.
Okay, who do we need?
And who's going to be doing... Yeah, or who's going to do what, and how are we going to know what the other side is doing? And
I've been through this twice in the elevator business. Yeah, one company was bought by my company, and then our company was bought by another company. So in other words, we bought a small company. The company that I worked for bought a small company, and usually what happened was all the management with the small company got laid off. And then when we got bought by the bigger company, most of the management from my company, which was the smaller company, got laid off. It's going to be a bloodbath for upper management, middle management, all that stuff. It's
going to
be a bloodbath.
Sales teams are going to have it rough because they either have to learn an entirely full set of products and packages and deals, or if they're smart, they'll keep it separate and just keep the people who are experts in one thing sell that one thing. Yeah. They're going to get greedy, though, because if I were selling podcasts at Midroll, you damn right I'd want to start selling SiriusXM ads too, or at least be like, you know, hey, all my advertisers, you now have this bonus where you can do this too. They're already buying both. ZipRecruiter is on Howard Stern already.
Right.
So how do they put that all together?
If I was a betting man, I would say that they're going to use Stitcher to put their shows behind a paywall that once you are signed up, you can use that RSS feed to download shows like a podcast and then use it that way.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah, because it seems, I haven't used SiriusXM in forever, so I don't know if it even has a capacity. It doesn't have any kind of capacity for download. It really is just.
I don't know that.
Signal to whatever the device is, right? There's no. And you could, in quote, record. I seem to remember something like that. Like there was a certain amount of memory or allotment for you to have a certain amount of a conversation, like, you know, Howard, you could play him in the afternoon versus the morning or something. But
I think they have an app, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't there an app for SiriusXM?
Yeah, there is all the time.
But I think it behaves very much like streaming. I don't think it's a
It is streaming.
Yeah, I don't think it has the capability of it. But you're right. You know, I you're right.
You can download,
John. It could be one of those things where it's like that Stitcher might have a whole, you know, category catalog inside it that has the SiriusXM shows that you can get behind a paywall, like what you mentioned. That if you have SiriusXM whatever sign up membership, you can get it this way as a podcast.
What if Stitcher boots all the shows off the app now? What if they boot them all off now so they can just put the SiriusXM shows in there? What's that going to do for
podcasts? They would never do that. They're the number four app. Do you understand how hard that is? I mean, there are hundreds of apps that are barely hitting 1%. And so to have like the number four, who was the number three forever until Spotify came into the scene, that is huge in terms of app consumption and app usage. That's possibly one of their biggest marketing channels as well. Think about the users. I mean, just the users of that app. I mean, one of the lower end apps I know has right around 50,000 users, and that's in the way below 1%. Not around 1%. 1%. So you think about
it. Sounds like you're broken.
Whoa, 1%. So, but if you, but I think that if they're having that currently, they're I think at 2.8 is what their stats are.
Really blows my mind that they're the number four because, in my humble opinion, I didn't like the app. That was one of the first apps that I put on my phone for podcasting, and I didn't like it. And as soon as I could find another one, I switched. I think it's number four because it was there in the beginning.
And it was cross-platform. And that's the other thing. You're right. You're right, John. And that's what whenever somebody wants to start a new app, that's the biggest thing. We get super addicted to how we consume our content, and it's so hard for us to change. So you're right. I think that's why they're number four. They are possibly the, out of all of the apps, I think they're the oldest one. Oh my gosh. That has been around since forever because before Apple Podcasts did not exist. Overcast was not there. Castbox is number five. That did not exist. Podcast Addict, number six. That did not exist. Google Podcast just started existing. And then Pocket Cast also did not exist. So Stitcher is the oldest, like the OG. They're still there.
Original gangster of podcasting.
Or the old guard. I kind of like the old guard.
I like original gangster. It's just funnier.
I like, well, not after you watch the movie with Charlize Theron. Oh, watch the old
guard.
Yes,
I do want to. Have you seen it? I'm dying to see
it. Yeah, I watched it yesterday. It was great. Cool. It was awesome.
All right, I'll watch it.
She's quite awesome and she's aging beautifully. And
I know.
Hopefully.
She was asked not to come back to Mad Max anymore because she's too old. I read that.
What?
I know. She's too old to be in Mad Max, the next installation.
Who is Charlize?
Charlize Theron.
Are you kidding me?
Well, she's over 35. She's probably 40-ish.
Yeah, but still, you can't tell as far as I'm concerned.
No, she's amazing. She's in the Dior commercials and all. She's 44, so she's my age.
She's 44. Oh, my gosh. She looks – I mean, she looks great. She's 40. That's not old. That's me. I'm way older than her. I'm 4 years older.
She was born the same year as me.
Ladies, I hate to tell you, there's some 24-year-olds out there that think you're old.
Fuck so. You.
Well, yeah,
that's
I don't
true.
Care if the 24-year-old thinks that I'm old. I don't think I'm old.
I know, but it's – I know. I think beauty and age is in the eyes of beholder.
Doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're immature.
That's true.
And I stand by
that
statement.
Is that going to be our title, title?
That's our episode title. That's my motto. Oh, is that our title? Doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're immature? All right, fine.
Is that too long? I think it's too long. But alas, I really think that's a cool title.
It is a cool title for this.
I have the maturity of a 15-year-old. I agree with that.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and who cares how old you get?
For the last 15 minutes, I would like to talk about what I've been talking about this entire time because we didn't talk about it before and I need to push it. And it's, you know, so before we get started with this, though, it is really hard. I find it very challenging in both of my shows, this one and the feed, to have like the marketing stuff because I know this is heart stuff for me, but it's also marketing related things. That I need to mention, like the Super Squad. We have to mention it.
Yeah.
We have to mention the She Podcast Live.
Yeah.
We have to mention, like, and I feel really constricted by that. Like, it feels like whenever it's on the show notes, I'd rather skip it. Like, even looking at it again, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. But not because I don't love it, but because it feels like work. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It does?
I don't know. Yeah, it does. It feels like I'd rather find something and be super excited over something and then bring it up to the table. And I think that this to me feels like
self-promotion.
Self-promote-y, but at the same time, it feels like it's so close to my heart that I'm a little bit afraid. Maybe
okay,
that's
I'll share it.
No, I mean, I still have to talk about it because it's,
I
there's
think
a lot
it's
of
very, very interesting. It's because it's not something that you get to hear and learn about every day, the differences. And, you know, it allows you. First of all, I always love demographic statistics anyway, because you get to think about people and cultures in a way that you don't normally think about them. And so if you tell me Latinos listen this way versus this way, then I get to make assumptions like, well, right, because in their culture, this value is more important than this value. So of course they would not hear these kinds of shows. They would want these, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Whether it's the correct assumption or not, it's an interesting way of thinking about Like, even the difference between how men listen and how women listen, like, it all makes sense if you, right. once you hear it, you're like, well, of course. But, you know, I'm also like, I like to dabble in human behavior as a hobby. So I'm excited to hear it either way. I like to, I'm an amateur psychologist already. So,
but what Jess is talking about is the Latino Podcast Listener Report. That was,
yes,
that Edison Research just put out. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it was, it's something that came to being, people, in podcast movement 2019, when there was a lot more Spanish speaker podcasters in attendance. There were lots of meetups and things like that. Lots of people got to meet each other. And Gabriel Soto, who is part of the Edison Research team, I got to meet him at that time. We had a meetup together and with a lot of other Latinos and a lot of Spanish speaking podcasters from all over the world. And they, everybody got to meet each other. Gabriel met Martina Castro, who actually was the one behind doing Encuesta Pod, which was, she essentially was able to get some data. Her survey was not scientific. It was kind of like opt-in, take the survey kind of thing. Edison Research does, it's science. It's science data. So it is done the way that it should be done in the terms of like that there's not like as much bias as you would really that you would want for right. data. So yeah, anyway, Martina and Gabriela got together like at that time and started discussing possibly getting some data on Spanish speaking podcast listeners. So this is about the listeners, Spanish speaking podcast listeners that both speak Spanish, listen to podcasts in Spanish that are both in the U.S. and that have come to the U.S. from another country. So it's, again, U.S.-centric. And it really was spearheaded by Martina and Gabriel. And then Martina Julika Williams got into the scene. And then NPR and Libsyn and Pandora stepped in as sponsors to be able to put this together. So in partnership, we were able to fund this so that this would be pushed forward. And I was a big part of it because I pushed. I was like, we have to do this. We have to do this,
Lori. Because you are the pushiest of them all.
We have to do this, Lori. And it was like, but why does it matter, right? So I had to get super clear, like, this is why it matters. This is why it matters, because it matters. And but not the, in those words, of course. God. I know, because, yeah. But so anyway, I got buy-in on this, and this data is really amazing. So we're going to have a link in the show notes about this too. But as of you guys listening to this, we have Martina and Julika and I have already done a webinar that you're going to be able to, again, watch, because we're going to have a little powwow, a little like redux, a little dialogue around the data that we saw. But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some of these things. So I've copied and pasted some key findings in here, and I'm asking maybe John and Jess to quickly scan with your ADD brains, quickly scan to see if there's anything here that goes, that you go, wow, I did not. That's interesting.
Yes, I've anything? Already done this.
Anything? Okay.
I found it very interesting that this audience skews younger. There's not nearly as many 55 plus that are listening. 35% were born outside the U.S. I don't know if we have numbers about the general population as to how many were born outside the U.S., but that would be interesting to know in comparison. I found it very interesting that 60% are bilingual and they listen to more music shows than talk, which I thought was very interesting. And also that they listen longer, but it's because it's music and they listen to less spoken word. And I wonder if that is because of something to do with the language or if that is a cultural thing. 35% say the podcasts are too long. Interesting, because that's never a problem.
Well, but see, overall. See what it is. It's because these are going to the non-podcast listeners. So this data okay. that you're just reading, those are reasons why they don't listen to podcasts, but they also don't really know what they are. Like, well, they yeah. just found out that's a podcast. And you're like, yeah, I know. I've heard of podcasts. Why don't you listen to a podcast? Oh, and then these are the reasons why they don't listen. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that I found to be really interesting, that podcasts are too long. This is what they think. The next thing is that you have to pay to subscribe. The next thing is that they're not sure how to listen. And then lastly, that there aren't any podcasts that cover the topics that they're interested in.
Which is sad.
So,
considering how many, we always tell people there's always something for someone. It's sad that they don't realize it. And also that so many people think you have to pay to listen, which
exactly.
isn't true.
Exactly.
That's a misnomer.
And I think that this is why I feel this data is so powerful, because again, this isn't about existing podcast listeners. We already know these things. This is about reaching out to a population that has a possible vague idea of what a podcast is, and why they don't listen are these reasons. So how can we help dismantle that? What do we need to do with our marketing, with our outreach, with the way that we come, you know? And also, one of the biggest ways in which this specific population reaches new audiences is via social media, hands down, the way that they discover content. So not necessarily that they are going to be listening to podcasts, but that's how they discover. It's all social media and it's all word of mouth. So again, we are, people always go like, how many times should I put this online? Like, what do you do? Where do you send them? What? You have to understand that that's where they're going to discover your show. So it doesn't matter what it is that they bump into. It really matters how many times they hear from you. I think that that's a huge thing in terms of social.
I think it's very interesting that a full 50% are 18 or to 34. I thought that was very interesting.
Isn't that insane?
It's crazy.
It is super young.
And I also thought it was interesting that half the people that they surveyed just started listening because of the virus.
Right?
So it's, well, first of all, compared to a year ago, it says they're 80% more, but half since COVID. That's only 4 months.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's right.
But I mean, you know, better late than never, I guess.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. And like in terms of like the past, think about it. 80% of these respondents started to listen to podcasts within the last year. 80%. And that could be what we're kind of extrapolating. It's also because now there's more content. Right. So we can't really know, chicken or egg. Right. Like, was it because now they're listening because they had to, kind of thing? Or is it because there's been such a huge uprising or uptake in podcasts that are Spanish speaking podcasts? There weren't that many before. There are a lot more Latinos that are creating content that is in both languages. Right. That wasn't there before. And so maybe it's not necessarily because podcasting wasn't interesting. It's now the content is something they want to listen to. Right.
Right. Right.
So but that's only very recently happened. So it's very, I mean, if you think about growing podcasting, this is a huge ability to be able to do this stuff, because what we found out is that, and Tom Webster mentions this on the latest episode of The Feed, which I will link it to in the show notes as well, because he was on the show. He mentioned that something that he double checked and triple checked the data on, which was mind blowing to him, is that people from first generation, like people, not even first generation, immigrants, essentially coming to the country. So what we found out is that the people who didn't even know what podcasting was, like they had zero idea what the word even was, that are coming from a different country, like zero. Like it wasn't even a percentage, like at all, that were coming from a different country, zero of the people that were surveyed. And that is pretty huge, because the possibility to teach is massive. But the other thing is, when they find out, or like when they do start to listen to podcasts, they're all in. Like they're all in.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all in. So it's like from not even knowing that it's a thing, like that's an actual thing, to, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
I mean, if you speak Spanish and you can tap into that market, my God, what a opportunity for growth. And number two, and I was thinking about this as far as podcasting goes, no one has been recording any TV shows. There's not been shooting any TV shows. So September comes, they're going to be running the same. People are going to be tired. Next thing they know, let's listen to a podcast. I've seen this thing 100 times. Let me listen to a podcast. It might pick up podcasting by people just listening to it because they're bored of TV. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. You've watched all the movies. You've been.
I am at that point right now, as a matter of fact. I've watched all the things. I have nothing left to give. That's how it feels.
I have my TV watching has went down 90% because there's nothing on. Everything is just reruns. And so what I do is I listen to a lot of different podcasts. Matter of fact, I ran out of podcasts to listen to, and I was on a fishing expedition the other day just to find some new ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity, an untapped market. If you're a podcaster and you speak Spanish, my goodness, that's where I'd be heading.
Right?
Yes.
That's where you'd be heading. That's right. But thank you so much for letting me talk about this.
Yay.
I'll have all links in the show notes for everybody there, but that's kind of a conversation that's going to keep on happening. There are more initiatives that we plan to keep putting forward for Spanish-speaking podcasters. But that said, John, We are moving to our last segment of the episode so we can close it out. And this is Weird and Wild Show of the Week.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the Week.
So you, Mr. John, that are looking for something to listen to, how about you listen to this?
Okay.
I don't know if I'm into it, but hey, I wrote it in here because what? So Demi Moore has gotten into podcasting.
Thank God.
And I was like, at first when I saw, oh, she's getting into podcasting, I thought she was going to do yet another interview show, you know, because why not, right?
Right.
But alas, check this out. As an escape from her carefully curated life and dying marriage, Diana secretly runs an erotic website where women reveal their intimate sexual fantasies. This six-part show starts and is produced by Demi Moore alongside an impressive and expensive cast with Dirty Diana. Writer-director Shauna Fest has created a sex-positive podcast that tells the story of a marriage on the brink of collapse and the hard work that it goes into finding your partner again. Dude, Dirty Diana. And it's a narrative
Diana.
Show.
I will give it a listen. I listened to Call Her Daddy for a little while.
Did you?
I'll give it a listen and see what I like about it.
I mean, it's only six episodes.
It's only six episodes. That's all you need, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's being put on by somebody I've never seen or heard of before. Q-Code is a Los Angeles-based audio production studio with an emphasis on scripted narrative stories. And I guess their first podcast was Blackout with Rami Malek, you know, from, you know, the big
Mr. Robot.
Bohemian Rhapsody and Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
So I've never heard of Q-Code. So now that's a place that does audio. So there you have it.
I honestly think audio dramas for podcasting is going to grow. I think it's growing now, but I think there's a huge market for it. Most of the podcasts that I find now that I really enjoy are podcasts that tell a story. Well, I'll definitely give it a try.
They also have Chloe Grace Moretz in a show called Gaslight. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say shows like Dirty John and the one where it was Finding Richard Simmons and all those kind of shows that tell a story and you keep coming back. Mm-hmm. I find them really interesting. And they're produced more than you would find in an interview podcast or something like that. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
Cool. Let us know what you think.
I will definitely do that.
Anybody out there who wants to give us a review on Dirty Diana.
Oh. We're nerds. Okay.
I think we covered all the things.
We are done. Thank you guys so much for hanging in there with us today and listening to the entire episode of She Podcast. Good for you is what I say. If you want to find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please do so. We would love to hear from you and connect there at She Podcast. You can also find our show notes on our website, which is shepodcast.com. And if you want to send us feedback or have any comments about today's show, feedback@shepodcast.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you.
Mean it.
Goodbye.